What is going on, Ivy Nation? Welcome to another edition of Upon Further Review. It's an Irish Breakdown podcast. That's Brian. I'm Vince. And this is our, fourth to last Upon Further Review, I think.
Fourth to last. You got three more.
Yep. So looking forward to that, obviously. But no, it's a little IB after dark. It's a Sunday evening. This is what we do on Sunday evenings, everybody. And it's really funny because every Sunday I'm like, yeah, I got the show at 7 o'clock. And my wife's like, what show? Okay, let's have this conversation again. Every Sunday, Seth.
We're now in year three or four of doing this.
It wouldn't be a Sunday without that conversation. But before we jump into this, Brian, I do want to
give
a shout out.
You have your traditions. She has hers.
I know, okay? Right? I want to give a shout out to Sean at Costco. Okay, Sean, he watches the show. I was wearing this sweatshirt today out, you know, doing some shopping. And he stopped me, says he loved the show. And then the reason he's getting the shout out is because I was looking for a certain something and it wasn't out. He went into the back, he found it for me, saved Christmas. So Sean from Costco, appreciate you very much, my man. You helped me out. You saved me big time. So, I mean, I had the picture for my wife. She's like, I want this. And I'm like, you need to find this. And he came back, man. So Sean from Costco, you the man.
So. I also want to thank everybody that was at the tailgate. I met so many people on the tailgate. We talked a little bit about it on Friday night, but you know, I got a chance to talk with my parents. I know how my interactions were, and they were amazing. They were awesome. I didn't have a minute to breathe. I didn't eat any food during the tailgate because I just was nonstop talking to people, and it was just so amazing to meet so many great people. We had Jadon Blair and his dad came by for a while. But the bigger thing for me is talking to my parents. You all were so amazingly gracious and kind to my family, and that means more to me than how you treat me. And so I want to thank y'all for that. All the food was gone. Y'all could have left me like just a little something, but my mom was very happy that all the food got eaten. So appreciate y'all for that. But it was amazing. It's the most packed tailgate we've ever had. Which I was shocked. I'm thinking Friday night.
Well, yeah.
No, it's and it got going pretty quick, Vince. So, so many of you out there. Also wanted to give a little bit of a prayer shout out to our guy Larry, who came to the tailgate in the game despite the fact his mom passed away the day before. And he said, you know, it was talking to him and, you know, and they're going through. And I was like, you know, I got some guys on my team that know what that's like, buddy, you know, with you and Sean and Ryan have all lost a parent. Mm-hmm. Trevor and I have both lost a grandparent in the last year. So, Larry, we're thinking about you and we're praying for you. And it was great meeting you and your son on Saturday or Friday night as well. So, it was just a tremendous experience. And just so many of y'all came out, got to meet a lot of new faces. There were some ones we've met before. Coach Benton was there, you know, so it was a good chance to talk to him. So it was awesome. And of course the game was great. And Vince and I both dove into the film. We've talked, there's a lot to discuss. We're going to break it down now. And then we're going to put a little bow on it. And at the end of the show, we're going to talk about the whole first round.
Yes.
Just going to give our initial thoughts, and I'm going to be throwing some shade at the SEC.
No.
So, yeah, it's going to happen. I know it's shocked. It's going to happen. But I also want to have a legit conversation about this narrative about strength of schedule and all this other kind of stuff and just the nonsense that we saw come out this weekend. So, so I'm ready. Let's get rocking and rolling, man.
Hey, I'm just happy our game, the game we cover, was on Friday night. I originally was like, oh, come on, Friday night. But it was perfect because we got to do our thing on Friday, you know, get all excited, pumped up, like ready to go. Like, I wouldn't have been able to focus on any kind of football on Saturday if Notre Dame was on Saturday. You know what I mean? And so it was nice to just do our thing on Friday, be excited and be happy for the outcome, and then just watch more college football on Saturday. Yep. Like, it was the perfect setup as far as I'm concerned. So I hope Notre Dame gets the Friday night game every year at this point. But we'll cross that bridge when we come.
And I am a little under the weather, so I'm hoping my voice lasts.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah. But we got a lot to talk about. So, hey, first segment, we kind of want to jump into our overall thoughts on this game as we watched it back. And I think, as always, you know, certain opinions that we had while watching the game live kind of get heightened. And then certain things that we may not have seen, you know, on a live watch come to light, I guess is the best way to put it. And, you know, in the moment, for example, you tweeted, no, you didn't tweet this out. You put it on the board, I think. You know, we didn't know that Rocco Spindler got hurt. right? We had no, we didn't realize that or why he was in street clothes, you know, in the second half. But then when you go back, you know, and you watch the film, you kind of see where it happened. And then it kind of explains the way some of the things went down towards the end of the first half as well. And so, you know, Brian, I'm going to kick it over to you, but your first overall thoughts as you watch the film back and things that maybe, like I said, got even more heightened because of what we saw and what the film or things that stood out to you that you may have missed the first time around. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
You know, obviously, we'll get into the offense specifically and defense specifically. You hope to hear that the news coming back about Rocco Spindler and Riley Mills is positive, right? I mean, saw a video of Bryce Young dancing after the game. He's fine. He just got kneed to the head.
He got his bell rung.
At that point in time of the game, there's no need to put him back in. Yep. He looked fine in the sidelines. He was dancing after the game. Don't want to even speculate about Rocco and Riley. We'll just see. Coach Freeman's going to talk about it tomorrow. You all know I don't like to get into the whole injury speculation thing for a million reasons, because there's a lot of people like Jeremiah Love's probably not going to play, may not play, blah, 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 blah. A lot of that speculation going around, and turns out he wasn't fine, like he was 100%, no problem, but he was clearly good enough to run for 98 yards. So, you know, so we won't get into that, but obviously that's the one thing that kind of that one dark cloud that lingers over it is those two key injuries, and those guys are both very important for Notre Dame. So we'll find out about that. But just big picture, Vince, when you watch this game, you could see a lot of rust on offense in this game. But I was surprised at how ready the defense was for this game, and we'll dive into more specifics. But I knew that Notre Dame had an athleticism advantage over Indiana. I was surprised how much it was. And there were several plays where I actually think I might put this into the run game. So I'm going to do some breakdowns of the offense and a little bit of the defense over these next couple of days, all 22, that's going to go on the premium board. But I'm going to put a play in there of the Indiana-Ohio State game. It was like a 3 or 4 yard gain for Ohio State, and it was almost like similar type of path that opened up, but actually maybe slightly smaller hole for Jeremiah Love that Ohio State had against Indiana. And the running back just kind of didn't have the juice, because it wasn't Travion, didn't have the juice to hit it. And I said last week, you know, hey, look, this is the kind of thing Notre Dame can hit, but you just, that's what it was. They just weren't prepared for the speed. Vince, we were outside when Jadarian broke that 20-yard run, and you were just like, that's what happens every single week. That safety thought he had the angle. That safety has been a good tackler all season long.
Yep.
And he just couldn't get to Jadarian. And it was the same thing with Jeremiah. This, and then the other side of the ball, there were several times you think that a team's about to get, you know, you think maybe Indiana's a shot to getting to the corner, and then just out of nowhere, somebody gets to the ball.
Right.
You know, they're running inside zone, and the running back cuts back, and a Don Shuler goes from 12 yards deep to the line of scrimmage like that and just drills the guy. And Marcus Freeman starts going nuts. I mean, it just was they did it. And you could see Angela has a – you know, so Angela takes, I think she took like 4,500 photos from the game. You know, I mean, just so a lot of them are like being sequenced. She just loads them all up and they'll be in sequence. And there's a sequence of her taking video of the team before they run out of the tunnel. And you could see Marcus Freeman pacing back and forth just the whole time talking. And you could see, like, it's not like, you know, oh, I'm nervous. It's like, you know, it's like a team captain right in front of his boys getting them hyped up. And you can see the players just going like this, and then you could just see them kind of getting more and more amped up. This team was so ready to play in this game. And I think they fed off of the crowd. And that was a big part of it as well. But this team overall, Vince, was very ready to play this game. And the more you go back and look at it, the more you watch, you realize that the moment was not – they have to adjust to the moment. It was, there was none of that for Notre Dame. There was some of that for Indiana. There was none of that for Notre Dame. And, you know, I think that was probably my best big picture takeaway is that now, again, there's this thing going around taking a shot at Brian Kelly. Like Notre Dame has scored more points in the scored more as many points in the college football playoff in one game as Brian Kelly scored in like his three playoff games. Right. So it was like, there's like 10 more. It's like he scored 3 against Clemson and 14 against Bama. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we get it. Like there's shade of Brian Kelly. Indiana's not Bama or Clemson from 2018 either.
2018, yeah.
And so like let's like pump the brakes on that. We can have that conversation on January 1st when we watch them play Georgia if Notre Dame plays well. But the point, however, is this team came out in this moment with what was on the line. So the opponent wasn't what those teams were, but the moment was every bit as big. And this team came out with a much different mindset and a much different attitude. And in, you know, made me think, Vince, we had two people, Griff Weidler, and then there was one other fella. I think his name was Larry. I think it was another fella named Larry also that was there. And they both were people who watched the first live show we ever did, which was the post game of the Rose Bowl in 2020 when Notre Dame lost to Bama. And it you start thinking about that game, you start thinking of 2018, you start thinking about this game, and you just remember how tight Notre Dame was coming out of both of those games. You remember how tight Notre Dame was coming out against Alabama in 2012 to where, you know, heads down, just like really looking focused, but you're just not sure if they're focused or if they're just kind of, like, are they overwhelmed? Are they're you know, puckered up on the backside? You know what I mean? Like, and they played in each of those games like a team that was a little bit kind of puckered up in the backside. And this team came out playing loose. This team came out with energy. They were hopping around. They were bouncing around. They were fired up. They were locked in pregame. Vince, watching the quarterback throw around, they were locked and loaded in pregame, watching Riley throw the ball around, watching Steve throw the ball around, Kenny and CJ throw the ball around. These were guys that were coming out there ready to play, locked in, loose. And it wasn't, you know, you find out, is this real enthusiasm or fake enthusiasm? And you found out right away when the game started that it was real enthusiasm because they flew around on both sides of the ball. One side executed better than the other, Vince.
Sure.
Defense executed better than the offense. But the energy was there in all phases of the game, and it just kept building and building. And I think that was the most encouraging thing. Now, we need to see if they can continue it away from home and down in New Orleans and,
you know,
10 days or whatever. But for this first-round game, that was something that you saw, Vince. And when you dive into the film, you could see it in that first couple series on both sides of the ball that they were amped. there was no hesitation. You know, we talked about the defense has been kind of slow starters,
right,
for the last couple months of the season. Not in this game,
right?
Dude, they were boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
they were on the attack.
We'll get to that. Don't worry. Yeah,
they were on the attack from the minute the game started till, you know, they kind of called the dogs off with 5 minutes left. That was the biggest thing to kind of take away from me, Vince.
If you're like me, you're looking for an edge for sports betting. So when I heard MasterClass had a new class on betting the odds taught by the pros who've made millions, I had to check it out. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become the best. MasterClass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow from over 200 of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with MasterClass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access MasterClass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Go past guessing, learn data-driven strategies and tactical thinking from the pros who've mastered high-stakes sports betting. Sharpen your skills, assess risks, and make better decisions. And the classes really do make a difference. 88% of members feel that MasterClass has made a positive impact on their lives. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with MasterClass. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes as much as 50% off. So head over to masterclass.com/Irish for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/Irish. masterclass.com/Irish. And remember, all sports betting involves risk, and you are responsible for complying with all sports betting laws in your jurisdiction. So forget the lucky jersey or the assigned seating on game day. Learn from the sharps who meticulously manage risk and evaluate data when making decisions on where and when to wager their money. Only with MasterClass. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare ya. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's. Yeah, I mean, this game was massive in whatever context that you want to use. This game was massive, right? And Notre Dame, like, I could have seen past Notre Dame teams come out in this moment at home with everything that was riding on this game. First one ever, you know, you're the only game in town. It's prime time. It's all of those things, right? There was every excuse in the world to come out and be like, ooh, we can't make a mistake. You know, we have to be perfect. We have to do this. We have to do that. And that was not the case. And I completely agree with you. When you watch the film back and you're just talking, you know, from a football standpoint, you know, defense was loose. They were loose. They were just firing on, you know, all cylinders. They were, you know, firing out of their stance. They were coming downhill. They were making tackles, making stops. I mean, they were playing great team defense, and the athleticism then took over. And then offensively, you know, yes, there were mistakes, and we'll talk about those, no doubt, but they were also not daunted by the moment. They're, you know, third down conversions. Like, that's the time when you kind of pucker up, right? Like, you got to be perfect. That was not the case. You know what I mean? They had one of their best third down conversion games of the year, you know, in this moment. And I think that can't be forgotten. Like, it's one thing to do well on third down in a game in the regular season, you know, against a, you know, and I'm just picking a game out of random here, right? Like against a Virginia in the middle of the season, okay? This was a college football playoff game, and they had one of their better third down conversion rates of the season. You know what I mean? And they were converting on fourth down, and they were doing things that good quality teams do in big moments. And I think that's what had been missing from Notre Dame, you know, since I've been following the team. The big, big, big moments, right? They got to be perfect, and part of that was preached to them by the last coaching staff. There's no doubt about it, and that's why they were like that, right? You listen to Marcus Freeman, and I'll put a plug in here for the Peacock documentary thing, right? I started watching the next two episodes today. I finished it, but the message is still the same. It's all the time about team success. And it, you know, yes, there's cliches and stuff in there and I get it, but the team, the team, the team. And then it's, if you are part of the team and you do what the team does, then you can get your individual success. They're bought in completely to that message because the message never changes. And that's a big thing, right? You can say it's cliche all you want, but when it's the same message being delivered to you, and it's also the same message that he adopts for himself, okay? I think that's also very key, because when he was asked about the Bears and he was asked about Ohio State, and all, it's the same message. Team glory comes individual glory. Like, it's the same message, and kids see that, man. They see that, and they see that he's completely bought in. So I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but it goes back to the bigger picture of this team was ready to play. There is no moment, in my opinion, up to this point that has been too big for this team, for this head coach, right?
What was the biggest mistake they made this season? It was not viewing a moment as big enough.
Yeah.
The Northern Illinois game.
Right.
It was not properly viewing the magnitude of that game and kind of just nonchalantly coming
in. That changed. As soon as that game was over, that narrative now changed, because every game from that point forward was an elimination game, and they treated it like that. And that's where this team is right now.
Now we have to learn moving forward, and this is the last moving forward thing I'm going to say in this show. The rest of it's going to be focused on this game and this team.
Yeah.
Now the key is what Marcus Freeman said the downfall of this team was against – Northern Illinois was the team did not handle success. This team has shown they can handle adversity. Now this team has to show that they can handle success.
That's fair.
And now that you have that first playoff win, that monkey off your back, is it okay, we've done something, we've arrived, or is it, fellas, this is just step one or step two? I mean, step one is getting here. Step two is winning that first game. Now it's okay, now you got to do something different. And that's what we're going to find out this team can do. But in this particular moment, Vince, as you said, they were ready. They were loose. And they played – I mean, they played – I don't even want to say they played with the same energy they did in the regular season, because they didn't. Right? I mean, that, like, you talk about, like, playoff – you know, football is a different animal. And not everybody can handle that. Tennessee couldn't handle that. SMU couldn't handle that.
No.
You know, and I'll give – and what's the one opponent – that handled that loss, that handled the moment the best? What was the one team that lost in the first round who handled the moment the best, that was not overwhelmed by the – it was Clemson, who's been here before.
Exactly.
Right? Like, it's the one team that lost that handled it. And so that's what the teams that won. It's like the moment wasn't too big for them. They were able to raise their level of play to that, okay, this is what it took to get here. Now we got to get up here. And for this first game, Notre Dame did that. And that's important. Now it's about building on it. But for this game, it's why, you know, and you know, you got a head coach that's been coaching for a long time in Kurt Cignetti, who's a very successful coach. He's coached in national championship games at the FCS level. He's coached in playoff games at the Division II level. He's been an assistant coach at Alabama in a year where they won a national championship.
Right.
And the coach on the Notre Dame sideline let it all out, let it all hang out. Right, kicking a 49-yard field goal at the end of the half, running a reverse to start the second half in a game that was still competitive-ish. You know what I mean? His team came out aggressively, and the other team played conservatively. Let's try to, you know, prepare for that initial moment, and that and it was the brash, talkative, you know, trash talking. We beat the S out of ranked teams. It was that guy whose team played a little puckered, and it was the 38-year-old. He's learning on the job. You know, he shouldn't. There's a lot of Notre fans. He didn't believe he didn't deserve this and all this other kind of stuff. And how's he going to be? His team is the one that came out loose and saying, hey, we belong here, and we're going to show everybody that that's the case. And by the way, Vince, Angela just texted me. She's listening to our intro. She's changed her mind. She wants to go now. So it's not happening, but yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic. But look, that's going to do it for our kind of our overall look at, you know, look back on the game. We're going to get into offense and defense here, in just a second. But before we do, make sure you hit that like button, that subscribe button, that notification bell, you know, share with your family and friends. And of course, you know, give us a 5-star review. Jump on the boards, boards.irishbreakdown.com. Brian talked about some of the stuff that's going to go up on the boards, a lot of all 22 film, you know, stuff like that. So make sure that you check that out and get on over there. But it's a great Christmas gift, by the way, if you're still looking for that last minute Christmas gift. I'm just saying, you know, the Notre Dame fan in your life, make sure you get them a subscription to the boards.